gonna continue where we're at last week over in the book of Matthew. Take your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13. Very seldom ever teach out of parables, because I know that they're all have the kingdom of heaven in mind, but they also are profitable for instruction, and saw some good things out of there. So the principle runs through, and that's what it's we need to live by. You know, not only doctrine, but principles as well. And he has a lot to say here about what we've been looking at as far as the heart and the mind and the soul. So, I'm again reading. Excuse me. Oh, I'm in the wrong book. I can't even say that ain't right. I'm going to begin reading in 13, verse 1. It says, "And the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying." Now it's interesting to me, it says, "Great multitudes were gathered together unto him." Now, the fact of the matter is that the majority of those that was gathered there wasn't gathered there because of their love for truth or trying to find out what God wanted to do or turning to God. They were coming there, like we say so many times, for the loaves and the fishes. They were coming there to see what he might can give them, or he had for them. And yet we find right here that he spake to them in parables. Now, as if you know anything about parables, when he spoke to the nation of Israel in parables, it's so that hearing, they'd hear, but they wouldn't hear. They wouldn't have no understanding. They'd hear the words, but they didn't have understanding of what it was about. He wasn't like so many other liberal Bible scholars or teachers. Well, he spoke to them in parables so that they have a better understanding. He was drawing a picture for them. No, he wasn't. He was talking to them in parables so that they couldn't understand. He didn't want them to understand. And if you take your Bible, you'll find out if our gospel be hid, it's hid unto who? Them that are lost. And these people are not saved. They're not following the Lord in truth. They're just following him because it's interesting. It's it's good activity. It's interesting. It's entertainment to them. And they looking to see what next thing, what he's going to do next. You know, what surprise he's going to come up with next. It says he spoke many things unto them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony." I think we could park right there and talk. How much have we retained since last week? How much of the Word of God have we retained since last week? How much preaching have you been able to retain in the last month? How much of it are we laying to heart, you know, so it makes a difference sense? You know? I wonder how much of the Word of God goes in that, you know, we allow the devil to come and snatch it out. Like Brother Joe, you said, look, he said, you're saved. He said, I'm saved, you know, and so it doesn't matter. But it's like you said, if he's got your mind, he's got your heart, you know, he's got your soul.
Amen.
Doing what he wants it to do.
Amen.
Doesn't mean that you're lost, don't mean you lose your salvation, but that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to shut us down. He wants us to end up with a wasted life. He can't take our salvation, but I tell you what, we can end up down the road with a life wasted.
Yes, sir.
It can happen. And so I wonder how many, we need to, you know, really let these things sink down in our minds. A sower, he said, he sowed, and seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them. Took them away. Some fell upon stony places where they had much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. How about that? How many times, man, we hear something? Oh, goodness gracious. And they'll shout the house down. It's so good. I mean, it's so wonderful. They're so excited and so glad to hear what the good word of God was. And they were excited. We're excited about it. The church was excited about it. Then they got out and boy, and the sun started beating down. It withered away. It withers away. This ain't just for lost folks either. It's for us folks. How many times have we get excited or get burdened about something, laid it down on the altar, and boy, and make God promises or you know, endeavor to go out and do take things a little bit further and give ourselves a little bit more to God. Hey, and man, we're all excited about it. But the sun comes up. Beats down on us. Boy, that evening service, buddy, where you were so excited. After 4 or 5 days, the sun beat down, it's all withered up, gone. Happens all the time. Brother Rick, I know you've probably seen it in missionaries.
Yes, sir.
They get in there, they're all excited, boy, fired up, just wanting to do something great for God, and next thing you know, yes, goodbye. Goodbye. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Some of us, you know, we might retain the seed. Seed comes up, growing and growing and growing, but then the thorns start growing up and choke it out. Other things come into our lives that choke it out. You know, taking care of a home, a house, a family, and all this. Not necessarily bad things. Entertainments, whatever it is. Fishing, hunting, racing, ball, travel. I don't know, but it says right here that it chokes it out and it doesn't produce no fruit. But some fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Now, them three right there, you know, I don't know. If you're saved, you're going to bring forth some fruit. It might not even be 30-fold. It might only be 10-fold. It might be 5-fold. These are just numbers that God laid down. But some people's lives, might not produce a whole lot of fruit, while others produce 100-fold. 30-fold crop year, I mean, that's okay. Pretty good, it's okay. I mean, we're not going to starve this winter. the farmer will say. Well, we ain't got a whole lot left over either. Or the 60-fold, he said, man, we had a good year. Yeah, we had a good year this year, you know. We'll probably have some left over. We can sell a little bit, you know. That 100-fold, he says, Lord, we can share. We got all kinds, you know. Lord has blessed us abundantly, and we're going to give. Now, that don't happen by no accident. That takes a ground that's been worked. That's a ground that's been tilled and broke up. That's ground that good ground is that ground that's been, boy, it's been, you can go out there and I don't know how these farmers get any crops nowadays. They just push the seed down in the ground and they don't break nothing up no more hardly. About every 4 or 5 years, they'll come along and they'll tear it up. I don't know how that works, but I know, huh? Yeah. Well, I know what the Word of God says right here. You've got to tear up the ground. Does the plowman? Does he plow? Just to plow? No, he plows to sow. And we can get in here. We need to break up our hearts. The Bible says we need a broken and a contrite spirit. We need to let that plow just get in our hearts and bust it up real good. You know, so the seed has some soft ground. And they get them little tender, you know, roots start going out there and the ground's busted up, so it starts sucking up them nutrients that's in the ground. You know, need some rain on it. Need to pray down some rain. Well, you don't think farmers, I remember we had a drought one year there. Everywhere as you look, man, they was having prayer meetings. They were all over the county. You'd say, meeting for prayer, meeting for prayer, meeting for prayer. I mean, every night, the farmers were getting together praying for rain. You know, we can get all tore up and better when it looks like the physical rain ain't going to come and our crops are going to be destroyed. And we can get all excited and we can have prayer unions. When's the last time, though, that the churches, you know what I'm saying? When the churches, when it looks like things are drying up. When it looks like there's no rain falling. Except, we'll pray. And gather together to pray. You can look back through history. Every outpouring of the Spirit always came through prayer from the very beginning. From the very beginning. When the Holy Spirit came, they went and they tarried in an upper room. And they prayed. And they prayed. And you know what they were doing? They were tearing up that ground. They was talking to God about things that they needed to get out of their lives. They was talking to God about things that their nation needed. They were praying and seeking God's face, and the Holy Spirit came. The rains fell. And some brought forth 30, some 60, and 100. And the disciples came and said to him, Why speakest thou in parables? Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing you shall hear, and shall understand, and seeing you shall see, and not perceive. Now, wouldn't you think If you went out to hear a man who was telling you about the things of God and you didn't understand it, and if you really wanted to know, you'd stick around and try to talk to somebody about it and try to find out what he was talking about. If you really believed he was a prophet, and you really believed that this was coming from God, and you was really wanting to know what God was doing, wouldn't you think they'd hang around a little bit and try to find out? Instead, you know what they did? They all went away. Oh, man, what was he talking about? Huh? They talked among themselves and murmured, but they weren't talking to God. They weren't hanging, they didn't hang around to try to find out. They left. I wonder how many come in church every week, things hanging on their mind, they don't understand, but they don't hang around and try to find out. They'll talk to somebody about it. Preacher gives that invitation every week. Somebody will be here to talk to you. Somebody will take time. Now, the reason, the big problem is a heart problem. Because it says right here in verses 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. So they've got a heart problem. They got a heart that won't hear, a heart that won't see, a heart without understanding, a heart that has gotten hard and callous, and they do not understand, and they're not willing to do what it takes to make a difference. They have a heart problem. You look at the first part of the parable, and we find out it's a heart problem, and the first thing that we see that Jesus becomes in there and says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of God and understandeth it not, then cometh a wicked one and catch away that which is sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. And he asked the disciples, he said, are you also without understanding? We need to ask ourselves that sometimes. Are we also without understanding? Well, I mean, look what's going on in the world today, and I wonder how understanding we are. You look at film I'm kind of anxious to see. It's about the conversion of Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz was an member of an Inner Street gang. They were a bloody outfit, fighting, drugs, violence, very violent. David Wilkerson, a Pentecostal preacher, went to that inner city area and trying to reach people for Christ. Eventually won Nicky Cruz to the Lord. Nicky Cruz was going to kill him. He had every intention to kill him. God wouldn't let him. I wonder if we have understanding when it comes to this world situation. When we look at the stuff that's going on, Brother Ellis gave us it, laid that out this past week about how children are being raised in one-parent families. And I don't know how accurate it is. I thought it was worse than that, to be honest with you. Just going by my wife. She'll tell you at her school about half of the children are being raised by grandparents. And the other half are being raised by a single mom or a single dad. Or at least come from a broken family where you got one parent and a step-parent. And full of drugs and insanity and violence. And a lot of these young children, I'm talking about 5 and 6 year old children, they are angry, Brother Ernie. They're angry. They don't know what to do with their anger. They're being hurt all the time. And I wonder how understanding we are. Ever since my wife started teaching, she'd come and tell me some of the stories, you know. I said, well, we need Christians to get involved in the school systems. Huh?
Yes, sir.
Trying to make a difference. We got a lot of retired people that ain't got nothing to do except for grow gardens. They could get out there and do something, try to make a difference, be a help. Schools like people to come and help. There's opportunities. He said, well, you can't talk about the Lord. I don't know why not, but what I've done.
Yes, sir.
All you got to do is open your mouth. He said, well, they might, sir. They might. They might put me in jail. They might. You do, then you'll have somebody to talk to in jail. You try to witness it in. Might be some of those.
Yeah.
Might be some of those teenagers. You know, so. Well, I know one thing. Church's got to quit being scared of every little old thing. We've got to have some understanding. If you understand the situation, if we understand what people are going through, then if we are the body, why are not our hands? Not our tongues teaching. You say, well, you're teaching in here. Why? Hey, that's okay. There comes a time, you know, when we need to quit getting taught and start doing some teaching. There's a lost and dying world out there. Why is our tongues not saying? If we are the body, why is our feet not going? If we are the body, why is our heart not showing? You think, I wonder if this county knows what the heart of Gospel Light Baptist Church is. Does your neighbors, does our neighbors, does my neighbors know what the heart of Jesus Christ is like? Are we also without understanding? It's a heart problem. The heart is without understanding. You know, and here's the reason. Here's the problem with the heart. It's what the heart desires. How much do we desire to make a difference in people's lives? How much do we desire to help these children that are suffering at home? How much do we desire to help their parents? And my daughter Lauren got really broken over this. She's attempting to adopt this little old girl. And she loves Papa. Loves me to death. You know why she loves me to death? Because I love her to death. Well, she say she's not your grandbaby. As far as I'm concerned, ain't a bit of difference. I couldn't love her anymore. Now, my daughter kind of went through something here just recently with the fact that the Lord dealt with her. He said, you know, he said, you've been angry toward her parents because they have not been what they ought to be, haven't did what they ought to do, and also fighting and contesting you having her right now. And he said, God just dealt with my heart and broke me. And said, she went to them, she said, I'm praying for you. I want y'all to get better. I want y'all to do well. We're not trying to take your daughter away from you. One of the things that did it, she got a chance. They talked through a computer. First time that they had even seen her in over a year. And right off the bat, she knew who they were. She said, Mama, Daddy. Even though she hadn't seen them in a year, she just a little baby. He said, my daughter said she just qualled. Now she knows she can't give them up to them. They're messed up. Their lives are wrecked, messed up. But the thing of it is, my daughter admitted the fact that she wasn't really doing a whole lot to try to make it any different. So she's took it upon herself now, and she's going to do everything she can to try to get them right. And she's let them know. She said, we want you in her life. We want y'all in her life. You are her parents. As much as we love her. Kind of touched me because sometimes I got kind of mad with them too. And I says, heart is without understanding. Why? I want them to have that little girl. I didn't want her to disappear. I want her in my life. How much should I have wanted what God wanted for this whole family? Heart problem. Without understanding. A heart look at the next portion of the parable. In stony places. The same as he which anon the heart with joy receiveth it, yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended. A heart may receive the word gladly because of its good news. But when the persecution arises, the heart they turn away from it. I remember right after I first got saved, and maybe y'all some kind of had these experiences. The Bible says, it talks about that great flight of afflictions that comes in your life right after you get saved. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. You've been saved, though. You probably do. When you get saved, all of a sudden it seemed like nobody cared about what you were doing, and all of a sudden, all the cults in the world started showing up around my house, you know, trying to get me, you know, straighten me out. Not only that, my family, who I thought surely would be happy about me getting saved, was like, well, you don't have to be a fanatic. And everything in the world that could go wrong around my house seemed like was going wrong. This was breaking down. That was breaking down. I said, God, I'm trying to do right now. It seemed like all this stuff is coming against me. Man, I said, if this is what being a Christian is, I'll tell you what, I don't know about this. I'm being honest. That's exactly what I said. But I wasn't about to go back. I couldn't if I wanted to. But I did have that thought because things was getting rough. Could you imagine people being persecuted, you know, who make a profession? You know what I mean? They make a profession. They come to church for a while, glad to hear all the good news. Then, you know, then they go to work and they try to do it and live it. And everybody starts balking them, laughing at them. Ah, you bunch of holy rollies. I remember there was a fella I used to work with. I only tell these stories because I don't know your stories. Y'all welcome to tell me some anytime you want to. If you got something to say, you raise your hand, I'll stop. But I remember going to work, and this guy, you know, working with him, I called him Heckle and Jekyll. They loved to laugh and make fun of me about being, you know, about being a believer. And this one had said something to this fella I knew and used to run around with. He said, oh, he'll get over it after a while. He said, I don't know. I don't think so. He did, at least he did see something that said that he didn't think I was going to roll over. Mm-hmm. I remember one of them ended up killing himself. Going to see his mother. I think I've told the story before, but I went down there to see his mother, and I told her, I want you to know, and you didn't fail it. He told me himself that if he ever knew what a Christian was, he said he saw it in his mother and in his stepfather. I remember falling on my shoulder, sobbing. Well, I knew that's what she was thinking. She had failed him. But she did. He just failed to take what he had and go to Christ with it. Now, he made a profession. I don't know. That's between God and him. Certainly. Would like to hope that he did. But I believe saved people can do that as well. But he was definitely under some strong attacks right there at the end before he committed suicide. Because of troubles and because of persecutions, many people will turn away from serving God. You know, the thing of it is, we need to have some convictions in us that says when the trouble comes, we're going to take it to the Lord and we're not going to quit. We need some convictions that says this is right, and to walk away from it would be the worst thing possible we could do. Many people, when things are not going well, they'll take off a running. But that's not the best thing to do. The Lord has told us to stand. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We need some people got some fortitude. And I, you know, you say, where is this going to come to? We're going to get to that in a minute. But what people have a tendency to do is when these troubles and persecutions come upon them, they fall apart. And the Word of God dries up in them. Then there's this other person right here. He that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. The nation of Israel is our greatest example. They were an example to the whole world of how God dealt with His people, His children. Now, God had told them before they ever came into the land of Canaan, He's going to bring them into a land that flowed with milk and honey, and they would eat from the labors of others, that they would be filled and it would be a fruitful place. He said, as long as you follow me, he said, you can farm just falling off the porch, basically. You know? You just be right with me, keep your heart right with me, and I will continue, and there will be blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings upon blessings. But He prophetically spoke through Joshua, and he said this, you cannot. He didn't say you will not. He said, you cannot serve the Lord. You know what they said? We will serve the Lord. He said, you don't know what you're saying.
Right.
He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. They said, we will serve the Lord. And God told them, he said, when you eat the good of the ground and you're in your prosperity, he told them exactly what they would do. He said, you'll forget all about me. You'll be lifted up in your pride. You'll be lifted up. Hey, you'll just say, look what my good hand have gotten me. Look at all that I have. God, hey, man, my hard work has gotten me. And before long, we think we done it. He told them that's what they would do long before they got there, and we know that they did. And here we find when Jesus is given this example, here's what he said. He said the deceitfulness of riches. He said they'll deceive you. Wealth, gain, prosperity. Next thing you know, people having to stick around the house to take care of the house. I hear it all the time. It's the only day of the week I get to, you know, work around the house, they tell me. I understand it will deceive you. The Bible says that the love of money, not money, but the love of it, is the reason. You don't even have to have any. You just got to love it. And if you love money, you know what you're going to do? You're going to be like a lot of these characters down here buying these tickets. They just know one of these days, buddy, they're going to hit the right one. I want a Powerball in. Look at the ones that have. You ever read what over in Timothy, what riches do to people? Huh? There's not many people able to handle riches. Very few. They're deceitful. Now, we've looked at all these conditions of the heart. And as we went through them, I hope you asked yourselves, how many of these, if I was taking a test about me, how did I do? How did I do? How did I do about retaining the Word of God? Huh? How did I do about, you know, about, buddy, when the persecution comes, how do I do? How do I stand? How is my fortitude? How is my patience? How is my understanding? We were like a lot of these people, that wicked crowd. That wicked crowd. I'm going to tell you something about like I heard a preacher told a young man one time. He said, I got with the wrong crowd. He said, son, you are the wrong crowd.
Yes, sir.
If we were to take a test and God was to stand us up here right now and do a judgment on us, how would we stand up? Now, I got some things. Now, here's behold, the heart of a man without Christ, or the heart of a man with Christ who's not yielded. The heart is gross, dull, and blind. The heart is without understanding. It cannot comprehend its poverty, pride, and presumption. A heart without convictions, without strength, patience, or fortitude. It cannot stand against the attacks of the enemy. A selfish, self-centered, lustful creature is man without Christ. And I don't care if you're saved or lost. Don't make no difference. You say, well, if you're saved, you got Christ. Yeah, you do. He's in you. You have Him, but does He have you? That's an everyday thing. That's an every morning thing. That's an every lunchtime thing. That's an every evening thing. It's an every bedtime thing. Satan is at war with us to take our affections. He's coming after our heart. He's coming after our mind. And with those two, he will control us. And it don't matter how much you believe in God, if God will continue to work. But he'll let the devil beat the far out of us until we, buddy, hit the bottom and say, oh, God. We're just like the children of Israel, his youngins, and he'd allow the giants to come in, the Hittites, and all that crowd come in and beat them up for a long season of time. Finally, they began to cry, oh, God. When they was down in Egypt, they was fine. They had the best of the land, remember? But then all of a sudden, buddy, they beating them and making them make bricks. Oh, God. And I wonder how many of youngins in church today, the devil's just beating the far out of them. And they need to come to that place and say, oh, Lord Jesus.
Yes, sir.
I cannot do this. Behold the heart of God's Son. Number one thing about it. He always does those things that please the Father. He always does those things that please the Father. I can't say that, but Jesus can say that. He lives for others and not himself. How do we stack up to that? Is our life always about others? His life was always about others. He lives for others, not himself. He has conviction. He's long-suffering. Has great endurance and patient with every soul. Boy, I tell you what, good thing I'm not God. I would have stomped me in the ground a long time ago and kicked that head over me. But God is long-suffering and patient. He has all power, and we have no power. We are weak. Paul said, as a matter of fact, you know when he got strong? When he was weak. When a person says, oh God, I can't do this, and I need you, that's when the strength starts picking up. When you realize that, you know, how frail you are, how unbelieving you can be, how that's in you, that old man, is just as deceived and ugly and